Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Ayin Beis. We are starting in the Gemara. An Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. There we go. We're starting an Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, and we are starting this morning with Ad Heichan He. Bavel. Up until what point is Bavel? And today we're going to get into the weeds. We are in the weeds today. Over the course of the last number of Dapim, so we started with Yichus, the sugars of Yichus. The truth of the matter is that the Yichus sugars already started back at the end of the third Perek. And Dapim, Samach Zayin, Samach Ches, 67, 68. So the Gemara identified the basic parameters of Yichus, meaning what marriages cause what. And then after that, we opened up into the fourth parak of the Masechta, and now Asar Yuchzen Alu Mi Bava. So we got a lot of lessons of history and a lot of lessons of Yichus. So there are 10 classes, 10 categories of Jewish people, starting with the Kohanim and working our way down over there. Okay, I know it's a lot. It's a lot of classes and a lot of classifications. And okay, it's a. It's a classic idea. Thank you very much. So the and who can marry whom? So that was a so that the Mishnah introduced to us in the beginning of the fourth parak. So and if you remember the ten classes, what you do is you draw three circles as instructed in the beginning of the fourth parak, and as long as you find somebody in your circle, so mazel tov, so you can marry such an individual. So that is now that was the beginning of the fourth parak, and we are now going to be covering and going over the actual geography of Bavel. Now, there are a number of regions that are near one another. There's Bavel, there's Meshon, there's Elam, and there's Madai. Okay, and how are we in terms of these particular communities? These are like regional areas. So I go back to where we ended the Gemara with yesterday. Rav Papa made the following pronouncement, and that is that Meshon Mesa. Meshon's dead. Okay, that's not a nice way to describe an area, but when we say dead over here, we mean from a Yichus perspective. Meaning the Yichus in Meshon is awful. And as far as Madai is concerned, Madai is sick. Right? Madai is like, right? But as the Gemara pointed out, with a good prognosis, meaning it's not terrible. And Elam is a ghost ace. Okay, in my very, very makeshift map over here, Elam is right above Meshon. So so Elam is a ghost ace, meaning not doing well at all. And where else are we? So Bavel. So Bavel obviously is the best. Bavel has got great Yichus. Okay, and in fact, the Yichus of Bavel, as we pointed out yesterday, surpasses that of Eretz Yisrael. Right? A big theme in yesterday's daf is that this was much to the chagrin of those living in Eretz Yisrael. So you live in Eretz Yisrael, you got great Yichus. Yes, yes, you do. Compared to everybody else out of town, the Yichus in Eretz Yisrael was great, but Bavel was greater. Right, and you remember a number of pronouncements yesterday that Bavel is greater in Yichus than that of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, it got so heated that one of the Amoraim had to flee the Beis Medrash after making the pronouncement that the Yichus of Bavel is in fact paramount. It is the best Yichus. Okay. Now, Bavel is constructed of a community with two rivers, basically that are the borders of Bavel. Okay, these two rivers are introduced to us in last week's Parsha. Sorry. 2 weeks ago, Parshas Bereishis, so we were introduced to two of these rivers, the Chidekel and the Nahar Pras, right? The Nahar Pras, the English name is exactly the way it sounds in Hebrew. It's called the Euphrates. The Chidekel, I don't know how the English, right? The Tigris River. So anyway, the Tigris is to the north, the Pras is to the south. There's a Rashi upcoming in today's daf, right? Just on the Gemara we're about to read together, where Rashi gives us his map. Now, it would be helpful, by the way, if Rashi actually mapped it out for us. Rashi's an essayist, and he's only using words, and he's not using maps. But the Rashi does give over here a pretty detailed description of what the map looks like. Okay, Rashi's orientations of north and south definitely challenge the way you and I would look at the map, but it doesn't matter. In other words, we're all looking at the same thing, and just simply trying to express it in different ways. To us, or at least to me, right, the map obviously is much more helpful. You look at a map, we're trained. We're trained to looking at maps. In other words, our whole life now is basically Google Maps. So we're a little bit more used to looking at maps. I'm going to go through this quickly. If you have a map to look at over here, helpful. If you don't have a map to look at, it's okay. In other words, you'll listen. None of this has practical applications nowadays, as we are going to be identifying cities along these two rivers, and the bounds, the northbound, the southbound, meaning where exactly the Yichus territory ends. So all this is going to be identified in today's daf. And look, it's interesting, but Lamaisa, practically speaking, it doesn't speak to us. In other words, we are well past living in Bavel. Okay, so Ad Hechem Bavel. So Bavel continues from where to where. So Rav Amar Ad Nahar Azak, Shmuel Amar Ad Nahar Yuani. Okay, so the Gemara gives over here two opinions, Rav and Shmuel, in terms of the perimeters. Okay, and we are looking right now. Yep. Okay, I also don't see the rivers. That's fine. Le'el b'diglas ad hechad. So now we're at the diglas. So the diglas is the Tigris. So le'el. So up until what point are we going to go to? So ad hechad. Rav amar ad bagda ve'avna. Ushmul amar ad mushchani. V'lom mushchani bechla. So good. So over here on my map, as I'm looking at the Tigris, and I'm heading now. We're going in a northwest direction on my map. So basically, we're looking over here at the most northern point of the Tigris in terms of Yichus. So over here, towns of Avne, Bagde, Mushchane, I see them all. Now the Gemara says that according to Shmuel, Mushchane, but Mushchane is not included. So it's up to, but not including Mushchane. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. V'amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Shmuel, Mushchane hi arei kegola. So Liyuchsin. So Ella on Mushchani, Mushchani Bechlal. So the Gemara says, okay. So based on another statement of Shmuel, so just a quick correction. And that is, Mushchani is included. So according to Shmuel, so if you're going up the Tigris River, looking for your Shidduch, so how do you know that you're in a good area in terms of Yichus, up to and including Mushchani? L'taxis b'diglas adecha. Now, we're headed downstream. And we're going to now go to the bottom of the Tigris River. So, where do we go? Ad hechan. So Amr Shmuel Ad Apamya Tasa. So we're going to go to the lower Apamya. Okay, so there's upper and lower Apamya. So Ad Apamya Tasa. Tati Apamya Havin. The Gemara just gives a quick explanation. There are two Apamyas. Chadi Gila Chada Tasya. The upper and the lower. Chadik Sheriv Chada Psula. One's Kasher, the other's Pasul. Ubein Chada Lachada Parsa. The distance between the upper and the lower is one Parsa. And Vikap Kapte Ahadade. They really don't like each other. How much do they not like each other? Afilunur lamush le'adade. Can I borrow a fire? Right, you got a light? All right, and nothing doing. They're not lending anything to one another. V'simancha depsul ta'ahad demishtaye. So I'm sorry. V'simancha and a memory aid. How am I going to help remember which of these communities am I not allowed to marry into? So the psulta had the meshanis. So the one that's puzzled, so what are they going to be speaking? They're going to be speaking in meshan. Meshan is either a dialect or it's a language, either way. In other words, you just listen to them talk. If they're talking meshan, so now you know, I'm not in the right apamya, right? I got to go to the other apamya. Okay, good. A simon. Le'el b'pras adhecha. Okay, so we just covered the Tigris River, and we just went upstream, downstream on the Tigris River, and we now cover the parameters of the Tigris River, and now we get to go to the Euphrates. And now in the Euphrates, la'el b'frasad hechan. So now we're upstream on the Euphrates, so where are we right now? In terms of the parameter. So Rav Amar Adakra detul bakne. Shmuel Amar ad gishra debe pras. Okay, good. So I'm looking at the map. I just identified where these two places are. That's fantastic. Shmuel Amar Ad Gishra de Bei Pras. Now Shmuel says it's up until the bridge of Bei Pras. Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Ma'avor Sigizma. And Rav Yochanan identifies some sort of crossing. Okay. Now it's interesting, by the way, to note. Just note that Rav Yochanan is expressing an opinion. Rav Yochanan is not native. Rav Yochanan is from Eretz Yisrael. So certainly I can understand how Rav Shmuel are going to express an opinion over here. Rav Yochanan expressing an opinion. Okay, just an interesting note. So light Abai v'item Rav Yosef ad Rav. So now, when Abai hears where exactly is the northern upstream point of the Euphrates River, when Abai hears these opinions being expressed, so Abai lied, he curses. In other words, he's very unhappy. Okay, the expression light Abaye cursing, so that's a common expression in the Gemara. It's how he expresses himself. Admittedly, it's a little bit strong, but okay, that's Abaye. So Leida by Vitemer Rav Yosef ad Rav. So and he really did not like Rav's position. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Ad Rav Leid Vadishmo lo Leid. He liked he was unhappy with Rav. He wasn't unhappy with Shmuel. Leid ad Rav Choshekin ad Shmuel. Okay, so in other words, the Gemara says, yeah, in other words, he didn't like Rav. He felt Rav was way too upstream, and he felt that Shmuel was even more upstream. So vi by Zemelo Lamad Rav Leid ad Shmuel lo Leid and Gisher Debe Prasletasai Havakai. It could very well be that we just have to, we need a reorientation of our geography. Meaning maybe he was upset with Rav, maybe he wasn't upset with Shmuel, and this Gisher de Bay Pras that Shmuel was identifying, maybe it was lower, meaning, right? In other words, maybe we just have some of our points on the map a little bit off. Va'ina hu dalyu aparsai. And the Gemara now notes that what the Persians did is they rerouted some of the river. Okay, so, and with this rerouting of the river, so a lot of these markers, a lot of these points on the map no longer are identifiable because of what the Persians did with the Euphrates, and that is that they rerouted some of it. We are on the very top of Ein Beis Amud Aleph.
Towns, so they could have been different people in nothing to the upper and higher, lower, whatever.
Okay. The Gemara just assumes that there's a certain geographic region, right, which is the sweet spot of Yichus. That's all. Amalei Abba L'Rav Yosef L'Hagis of the Prasad Hecha. So as far as the Babylonian boundary, so from the Euphrates River, Amalei Maidaitech, Mishum Biram. So what are you worried about? You're worried about Biram. So Miachse de Pumbadisa Mibiram Nasve. The Gemara says, look, the people that are the most miyuchas of Pumbadisa. Now, Pumbedisa is a town that runs right along the Euphrates River. And the Gemara says, and who did they elect to marry? They elected to marry people from Biram. Mm-hmm. Pumbedisa, we know, is the prominent Yichus location. In other words, in terms of Yichus, it is the center. In other words, it is the most in-town, if you will, as one could get. They're marrying girls from Biram. Biram's Yichus is more than acceptable. Amara Papa Kamachlokas Liyuchsin Kachmachlokas Linyan Gittin. Rav Yosef Amar Machlokas Liyuchsin Avali Gittin Divra Kol Ad Arbe Tanyanya Tanina de Gishra. Okay, so we now have a Machlokas regarding Yichus, meaning what are the borders of Yichus? Where exactly does Yichus extend in Bavel? From what point to what point on the both Tigris and Euphrates River? Good. And we just went over the various opinions amongst the Amoraim, so that when you're in that particular area, so now you're in good Yichus. Good. The Gemara now is pointing out, are they also arguing regarding Gittin as well? What argument of Gittin? So let's remember, we go back to the beginning of the Masechta of Gittin. And over there, if you are delivering a get from out of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so you must say, b'fanenechtam, see the Gemara of Gittin for much more explanation than what I'm providing right now. Anyway, that is a necessary component of the delivery of a get when delivering. That was the first very long sugya of the Gemara in Gittin. However, the Gemara also noted that Bavel's an exception. When you're delivering a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so you do not need to say b'fanenechtam. Again, see the Gemara in Gittin over there for an explanation. All we are now pointing out is over here is that we had a machlokas of what the parameters are for Yichus. So according to Rav Papa, it's the same machlokas by get, meaning that whatever is governing what is good Yichus will also be governing in terms of whether or not you need or do not need to say b'fanenechtam. And according to Rav Yosef, no. In other words, when it comes to get, so the borders of Bavel is the second swamp of reeds and Arava, which is north of the bridge. Okay. In other words, a slightly larger area regarding Gittin. Am Rabbi Abba Chava Yam Techelta de Bavel. So the Chava Yama, so that is the beauty, the real splendor of Bavel. Shunya Vigovia Techelta de Chava Yama. And if you want the splendor of that, so that's Shunya Vigovia. Ravina Amar Af Tzitzori. Even surrounding cities of Tzitzori. Okay. Happens to be that my makeshift map over here does not identify these places, but anyway. So Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Chanan ben Pinchas Amar, Chavel Yama, Tchilta de Bavel, Shunya Vigovia Tzitzori, Tchilta de Chavel Yama. Amar HaPapa, Vaha'ina, Di'i Arve Behukutai. So in other words, these are, so basically we've identified the, some of the most prominent places in terms of yichus. However, Rapapa points out that nowadays, there are so many kusim amongst us, velohi, isisahu deba minayu, and lo yavile. The Gemara says that's not necessarily true. So in other words, there are not that many kutim around. However, what happened was that on one occasion, one kusi wanted to marry a local, and but they didn't permit him. And somehow, in other words, that one episode just basically kind of snowballed, and it turned into a big rumor. But the rumor happens not to be true. There really aren't that many kusim in this area. In fact, there are no kusim in that area. My chavayama amra papa prasta borsif. Okay, so chavayama. So what is that? That's borsif. Okay, so over here, so I borsif I do have on my map. That's great for me. So au gavra da amaluana min shot me shot. So okay, so a person comes in and he wants to declare his ichus. So he declares that he's from shot me shot. Okay, great. So amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Raglav amar shot me shot bein naharos omedes. So it's between the pras and the chidekel. So v'chein bein naharos omedes my havis. The Gemara says okay, and. So Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Chama Barukva, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Bein Anaris Harik Gola LeYochsen. Ah, so in other words, if you find yourself to be between the rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates, so you are like the Gola of Pumbedisa, as we already pointed out. Pumbedisa is the paramount of Yichus in Bavel, meaning the entire area of Bavel is fantastic in terms of Yichus. At the top, at the zenith of this, is Pumbedisa. And so therefore, if you are living anywhere between the two rivers, so it's ki'ilu, you're like Pumbedisa, meaning you got good yichus. Hey, chikaima, show me, show, where can I find it? So I'm Rav Yochanan, mi'i dekire la'el, from ihi dekire and right above it. V'hama Rav Yochanan, so ad ma'avarta degizma. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I remember, says the Gemara, that Rav Yochanan says, what is the upper limits of the Euphrates? So he described it as Mavarta de Gizma. So Amar Abaye, Ritzua Nafka. So Abaye says, yeah, but there's a strip of land that goes from this Mavarta de Gizma over to this place of Shot Me Shot. And so the Gemara says, so it's included, it's incorporated, okay, via the strip of land. Okay. Okay, couple more places that we're going to identify. Amrav Ika Barav and Amrav Chanan Amrav Chalzon and Nihavand. Okay, now on my makeshift map, I have Chalzon, I have Nihavand, so they seem to be really far away. When I say really far away, meaning that we are now in Bavel, basically been centralized between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. So these two places that are far. Geographically far away, tucked away in the area of Madai. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing that despite the fact of their geographic displacement, nevertheless, they got good yichus. So the Gemara says, I'm going to start again. Amar Avika Barav and Amar Avchanan Amar Rav Chalzon and Niavand. Hareika Gola Liyuchsin. Okay. So they have excellent yichus. Amlu Abai Lo Tatsisule. So Abai says, you know what? You can ignore what you just heard. Yavami Hidanafal Lehasam. In other words, what happened over there is that happens to be that he had a brother who married a woman and they moved to these two areas and Rachmanis the man died and now he has a sister-in-law for the mitzvah of Yibum. And now the sister-in-law is coming from one of these two towns and so in other words, so he's propping up the yichus. But only because of the self-interest does he do so. Amrle atu didihi de Rav Chananel. De Rav Chananel hi. So he says, look, I'm not quoting myself, I'm quoting Rabbi Chananel. So Azul Shaila the Rav Chananel Amalu Achim Rav Chazon Yavan Harei Kegola Liyuchsin. Okay, good. And they asked Rav Chananel, and they corroborated. Yep, that's what I said. I said that they have good yichus, excellent yichus. And the Gemara says a pligi to Rabbi Abba Bar Kanan Damar Rabbi Abba Bar Kanan My Dichsiv. The Gemara now points out this is a point of contention whether or not these areas of Madai are in fact of good yichus. So a point of contention. How do I know that? Because of the following. We are in Malachim Beis right now. We are in chapter 18, Perek Yud Ches, in Malachim Beis. And what are we going over? Sancheiruv. So Sancheiruv comes in at the end of Sefer Malachim. This is towards the end of Bayis Rishon. And what does he do? A major displacement. He takes the Asar Shvatim, he takes the 10 northern tribes, and he conquers them, and he distributes them throughout the world. Where did they go? Well, nowadays we don't know, hence the 10 lost tribes. The 10 lost tribes. So we don't know where they are. However, the Pasuk does identify certain areas in which they were sent to. And so the Amar Rabbi Abba Bakana Maidirsi Vainachim Bachlach Uvechavor Nargozen Arimadai. So now, what are these places? Okay. I wouldn't know, but the Gemara has a Masorah. So Chalach Zu Chalazon Chavor Zehadyav Nargozen Zeginzak Arimadai Zechamdan Vechavrsah Vamrila Nahavad Vechavrsah. My Chavrsah Mishmul Krach Mushke Chuske Verumke. Okay, so the Gemara has a Masorah in terms of the locations that are identified in Shmuel Beis. So where are they now? I say now, by the way, I'm from the perspective of the Amoraim. They're able to identify where these places are. And I'm Rav Yochanan, Kulin Lepsul. And here's the punchline. And that is, Rav Yochanan says, is that wherever now we identified, wherever the 10 tribes are displaced, so it's Psul. Why? Very simple. Rashi explains over here. Because now, when the ten northern tribes are sent to these really, really remote locations of Madai, of Paras, of Mede and Persia, so as a result of that, they all intermarried. And so now, anyone who claims that they're a Jew does not have any yichus whatsoever, because they're all a result of intermarriage. So in other words, so over here, this Masorah that we were just given is now saying that Chalzon Nahavand, these two cities that are in Madai, so they are definitely do not have good yichus. Okay, so a point of controversy of people that are coming from this community. So the Gemara says, Moshe, Moshchani, it's the same place, right? Now that would be problematic because moments earlier in today's daf, I know it's so hard to keep track of all these places and all these names, but earlier in today's daf, we said that Moshchani is fantastic in terms of yichus. So Aham Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Amar Shmo Moshchani Harei Kegola LeYochsin. So Ela Moshe LeChud and Moshchani LeChud. So the Gemara says, okay, so quick clarification. So Moshchi and Moshchani are not the same place. Moshchi is one location. Moshchani is totally different.
Where's the Yofi over here?
No, nowhere near. Nowhere near what we're describing right now. We are right now not in Africa. We are in the Middle East. Okay. We are Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran. Okay.
Baghdad.
Tlas Ilim Bepuma Bein Shineham. Okay. We are now in Sefer Daniel. In Sefer Daniel, so we are looking at his vision, right? Daniel is now sharing a vision that he had. So there are four animals. So, and the four animals that he saw are a mushel, and they represent the four nations that both did and will govern over the Jewish people. So we are now up to animal number two. Animal number two is a bear, and the bear is going to represent the Persian Empire. So, Utlas Ilin Bapuma Ben Shineham. So over here in this vision that Daniel sees, we are in the seventh parak of Sefer Daniel. So he now has three rib bones that are coming out between his teeth. Okay. And the Gemara goes on to explain, obviously everything over here is to be understood, B'derech HaMashal. And so what is the Nimshal? Meaning, so what does that mean? So I'm Rav Yochanan Zu Chalzon Hadyav Nitziven Pamim Bol Asam Pamim Polta San. So the towns of Chalzon Hadyav Nitziven. So sometimes they are incorporated, and sometimes they're not incorporated within the Persian Empire. Arichive Ari Achre Tanina Damya Ladov. Forgive my pronunciation. Yeah, I know I did a terrible job. So over here now, we're continuing in the Pasuk and Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel, by the way, if it sounds a little bit strange, it's because it was written in Aramaic. Right? Parts of Daniel are written in Hebrew, and most of Sefer Daniel is written in Aramaic. So over here, so we are describing that the second animal, so it looks like a bear. Utini Rav Yosef Ela Parsim. And that's a reference to the Persians. Why are the Persians compared to a bear? Lots of reasons. Ochlim Vishosim Gedov, they eat and drink like a bear. Musu Balim. Kedov, they are large like a bear. Umegadlin Ser Kedov, they're hairy like a bear. Vein Lehem Menucha Kedov, they're unable to relax. And Rabbi Amiki Avachazi Parse, the Rachiv, and you would watch a Persian riding on an animal. So Amr Hainu Dubadain Naida, look at that bear moving around. Okay, so in other words, that comparison that was made by Daniel, so that continued all the way to the period of the Amoraim. Amale Rabbi Lelevi, Haraini Parsiim. So So give me a mashal of a way for me to understand, to digest. What is a Persian? So Amalei Domim L'Chayal Shal Beis David. They are like the soldiers of Beis David. So Har'eini Chavarim. Okay, and what about the Chavarim? Okay, Chavarim are a group of people. Now, are they Persians? That is the point of controversy. Rashi here, Rashi in the Gemara and Shabbos. In other words, they're either another nationality similar to the Persians, or they could be just an extremist group that existed within the Persians. So I'll let the academics figure it out. But anyway, so the Chavarim, Domim L'Malach Chavala. So they're just a destructive force. And Harini Yishmaelim, Domim L'Si'irim Shal Beis Akisei. As far as the Yishmaelim are concerned, so they're like Si'irim, they're like demons. But not just any demons, but demons of the bathhouse, right? Remember, we have Gemara upon Gemara where are demons to be found? Where are they occupying? The bathrooms. And Harini Tamid Chacham Shebabavel Domim L'Malach Yasharis. And you see a Tam Chacham and Bavel, that's like the Malachi Asharis. Okay? Just basically, Masham to help us better visualize all these different types of people. Ki hava nicha nafshei de Rebbe, upon the death of Rebbe. A number of times throughout Shas, the Gemara goes over the death of Rebbe, right? It was a watershed moment in Jewish history when Rebbe died. It ended the Tekufa of the Tanayim, right? It really closed a chapter in Jewish history. And by the way, you can almost take me literally, because Rebbe, of course, is the author and editor of the Mishnayos. And so with the death of Rebbe, really, we have now ended a period of time. The Gemara in Ksuvos goes over it in great detail. And over here, our Gemara in Kiddushin also does a little bit in terms of the description of the death of Rebbe. Ki hava nicha nafshei de Rebbe amar. So now over here, as Rebbe's dying, so now he is just making sure that there are certain very important points that need to be communicated. So Humanya Ika Bebavel. So there's a city in Bavel by the name of Humnaya. I'm obviously struggling with just pronouncing these names. So, okay, good. So Vekula Amonaihi, and they're all Amonim, right? In other words, Yichus, not to be trusted at all. In fact, they're not even Jewish. Misagra Ika Bebavel, Vekula de Mamzerihi. There's a town called Misagra and occupied by Mamzerim. There is a town called Birka, and brothers over there swapping their wives with one another. And as a result of that, obviously, Mamzerim. Birta Desachi Ika Babava Vahayam Sarah Me'achari Amakom. Birta Desachi as in Bavel. And what happened is that they were Saru. They basically went off the reservation spiritually. They became a Shmad. The Akpe Pera Bikavri Bishabasa. There's a fish farm. And Va'azovitzadubu Bishabasa. And what do they do is that they go catch fish on Shabbos. Shamtina Rabbi Achibar Rabbi Yoshe V'ishtamud. Rabbi Achibar Rabbi Yoshe hears about this group of people who are fishing on Shabbos. Fishing on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. It is an absolute violation of Shabbos. And when Rabbi Achi hears about it, he puts them in Cherem and Shmad. And they go off the derech. Meaning, rather than reform, they go off the derech. There is an interesting discussion to be had over here. In other words, putting somebody in cherem, obviously, is there to try to reform him and try to correct him. However, it can go in the other direction. In other words, when you give somebody the back of the hand, physically or spiritually or socially, so what the reaction could very well be, okay, you know what? Right? I got poached. Goodbye. And they're going to leave. And this is obviously an extraordinarily sensitive topic, but the Rishonim discussed this at length. And that is that if you know that you're going to give them a posh and they're going to go off the derech, so in other words, should you be correcting them? Okay. It's a really interesting discussion. So there's a Truma Sadesh and there's a Ramah. There's a lot to discuss on this issue. We are back to the Gemara. We are on the very bottom of Ayin Beis Manav Akor Dagma Ika Babavo. So, Akra Dagma is in Bavel. Okay, good. And Adabra Ava Yeshba. And there is a person over there by the name of Adabra Ava. Oh, by the way, just everyone understand contextually, where are we? We're still in the last words of Rebbe, meaning before Rebbe died, so he made a number of pronouncements. Okay? A lot of them were not uplifting, in other words, just real talk. In terms of that town and that family and those groups of people, things you should know, right? And the but, in other words, over here, Rebbe also announces that there's a person by the name of Ardar Bahava, and Vahayom Yoshe Bechekel Shel Avram. And today, he's Yoshe Bechekel Shel Avram. He's in the lap of Avram. Meaning what? Yesh Omrim. Rashi right over here writes, Yesh Omrim Esayom. So some say that he's in the lap of Avram, meaning he went up to Shammai, meaning he died. But Rashi points out, if that's in fact so, I'm reading in Rashi, Im Kenen Zeh Rav Adah Sheh B'Gemara. So that has nothing to do with the Rav Adah that we know, meaning we are introduced to Rav Adah Ba'ava time and again throughout Shas. So over here, if that's the way to interpret the Gemara, then it's just simply a different Rav Adah. However, Rashi writes, Vinira. But Rashi says, I prefer to offer the following pshat, and that is Cheko Shel Avram means that today is the bris of Rav Adar Bahava. He's born today. So v'zeh Rav Adar Bahava sherech yamim harbei mishameis Rebbe ador sachronim v'imei Rav Nachman Yitzchak k'darmina b'b'b'basra. So over here, so this is the birth of Rav Adar Bahava, and Rav Adar Bahava lived a very long life. He goes well into the tkufa of the Amoraim. Okay, I can't give you a number because I don't know. But in other words, but Rashi prefers to say that at the death of Rebbe, he is now making a proclamation, presumably al derech nevuah, that there's a special person that is born. His name is Rav Adar Bahava, and he's going to be spanning multiple generations of the Amoraim. Obviously, taking us from the first generation of the Amoraim, although quite frankly, he's born right now, so he's just a baby. But taking us all the way through multiple generations of the Amoraim. Okay, we're continuing in the Gemara. Hayom nolad Rav Yehuda b'Bava. Today's the birth of Rav Yehuda b'Bava. This is all still a continuation of Rebbe's reporting. Amar mar kishemes Rebbe Akiva nolad Rebbe. Kishemes Rebbe nolad Rav Yehuda. Kishemes Rav Yehuda nolad Rava. Kishemes Rava nolad Rav Ashi. Okay, so over here, just a great sketch, right? A great framework of the Amoraim. Well, truth of the matter is, starting with Rabbi Akiva, in other words, Rabbi Akiva takes us basically the end of Bais Sheni, all the way to Rebbe. Rebbe's well afterwards, but that's exactly the point, meaning that when Rabbi Akiva dies, Rebbe's born. So we are now circa somewhere in the second century, and now Kishmeis Rebbe Nolad Rav Yehuda. At the death of Rebbe, Rav Yehuda is born, and Kishmeis Rav Yehuda Nolad Rava, where now, death of Rav Yehuda. Now we're in the Tkufa Rava. Rava is basically the center of the period of the Amoraim. Right? Rav Yehuda, I would say he's first generation Amora, slightly short thereafter. Right? Remember, Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are first generation Amoraim. So Rav Yehuda is more at the front end, but with the death of Rav Yehuda, if you have the birth of Rava, Rava is really the midpoint of the Tkufa of the Amoraim. And with the death of Rava, you have the birth of Rav Ashi. The Rambam's Girsa, by the way, over here happens to be that Rav Ashi and Rava overlapped one over the other, right? It's supported by the idea that there are occasions where Rav Ashi actually quotes Rava. Anyway, it's a great framework of taking us for basically almost 400 years, right? Just about, right? From Rabbi Akiva all the way to the period of the end of the Amoraim. Over here, replacement theory. And that is that you cannot have a tzaddik leaving this world without it being replaced by another tzaddik. Okay, and the Gemara supports this idea based on psukim. Okay, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the psukim inside, but the idea is replacement theory. A tzaddik is not going to leave the world without another tzaddik replacing. Siva Hashem liYaakov Siva Tzarav. The pasuk in the beginning of Eicha. Well, beginning, it's in the first parak. So Rav Yehuda Amar Kigon Humnaya. So Lefum Nara. So over here, those who lay siege on the Jewish people, those who really bother the Jewish people, that's the pasuk in Eicha. Rav Yehuda identifies Humnaya. So Humnaya are the people that really, really were just difficult to the Jewish people. So Vayihi kin beyu patai ben benaya umes va'apol panai ve'ezakol gadol va'amar aha Hashem Elokim. Okay, the pasuk in Yechezkel. The Gemara now is going to be offering an argument, a debate in this pasuk in Yechezkel. So Rav Shmuel charam al tova. So the charam al ra. So upon the death of Paltayu ben Benayahu, so what happened? Yecheskel started crying out. Now crying out, in other words, latova lara. In other words, how do you interpret the cry of Yecheskel over the death of Paltayu? So manda amar latova. So what does that mean? So it means that Paltayu was, in other words, we don't know which took which position, but either Paltayu was good or he was not. So let's start off with he was good. And the Gemara goes on to explain. So ki had istandra demeshan. So chasid vuchanetzer hava. So this istandra. So what was he? He was the head of Meshan. Who was he? So he was the son-in-law to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the emperor of Babel, right next to Babel, right on my makeshift map. It's just east of Babel. So you had the area of Meshan. So Meshan was run by the son-in-law. So the son-in-law to Nebuchadnezzar sends the following letter to Nebuchadnezzar. Mikulai Shivi Daisis Lach Lo Shajr Le Dekai Lekaman. So he says, look, you're conquered. You have so many captives. And no, you're not sharing your captives. In other words, a little bit for your son-in-law, Bevakasha, right? In other words, could you send me some captives? I need slaves. I'm sure he didn't speak this way to his father-in-law. His father-in-law was a world conqueror, but you know what's wrong with you? Like, in other words, share a little bit. So, Baili Shurilei Miyisrael. So what Nebuchadnezzar thought is okay. So I'll send them some Jews. In other words, I have many Jewish captives. So I'll send them Jewish captives. So Amalei Paltayu ben Benayahu. So now Paltayu gives the following advice to Nebuchadnezzar. Anan dechashvina nekam ekamachacha v'av denezel ahasam. So Paltayu says, Nebuchadnezzar, I got a great idea. And that is, leave the Jews here in Babel. Oh, you know what? We Jews, we have our own slaves. Send our slaves over to Meshan. Okay. And Amar Hanavi Misha Asatova B'Yisrael Yamutz B'Chatzi Yamav. And now, that's what Yecheskel was bothered by. Meaning what Paltayu did, to a degree, obviously, but what he did was, he saved the Jews. In other words, rather than have the Jews be sent to Meshan and presumably get lost over there in Meshan, so what Paltayu was able to do was keep the Jews locally in Babel. In other words, and who was going to be sent to Meshan? Just the slaves of the Jews. And so therefore, Paltayu was a good person. That's one way to interpret it. And Yecheskel was crying because, look, in other words, such a good guy. And he didn't make it even to half of his life. He died at such a young age. Okay, that's one interpretation. But the Gemara says, but there's another way to interpret it. Manda amar lira'a midichsiv. So the Gemara says another way of interpreting is based on the following. So Yecheskel has the following vision of the Beis HaMikdash. And 25 men. And of these 25 men, he identified two of them, one of those two being Paltayu. Now they're facing the wrong way. In other words, they're facing east. They shouldn't be facing east, meaning they should be facing the Beis HaMikdash, which is westbound. Now, over here, the pasuk is somewhat superfluous. You're facing east, your back is to the west. Right? In other words, that's obvious. So, what they did is, forgive me, it's rough, but they defecated in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, obviously a form of protesting. Awful form. So anyway, so now when Yecheskel and Navi hears about this and hears about the death of Paltayu, so why he's crying, I don't understand. Such a heretic, such an apikoros, and he dies so comfortably. I don't get it. Anyway, that's the interpretation lira'a. Now we know that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about whether Paltayu is a good person or a bad person. And we don't know who said which. So the Gemara says, I think we can assume that it was Shmuel who said, who went in the direction of Ra. Why? Amr Abichia Bar Abin Amr Shmuel Mushcheni Harei Kegola Liuchsen. So Meishon Lo Chashu Lo Mishum Abdus Lo Mishum Mamzerus Elo Kohanim Shayu Ba Lo Ikpido Al Ha Gerushos. So the so Shmuel was not concerned that the people living in Meishon were Avadim. So that means to say that Shmuel did not offer that first interpretation of Paltayu. Remember, according to Paltayu, who went to Meishan? The slaves of the Jewish people. That's according to the first interpretation. Which means now that the Jews let's put that in quotes. The Jews that are living in Meishan are not Jews. In fact, they're Avadim. They have no yichus whatsoever. We also know that Shmuel said, look, the Jews living in Meishan, they are Jews. They're Jews. In other words, those who claim they're Kohanim are not, because at best they're Chalalim. In other words, they married Grushas and they're Chalalim, but they're Jews. So over here, those two interpretations are incompatible. So that must mean that Shmuel did not go with the positive read of Paltayu, but he went rather with the negative read of Paltayu. In other words, Paltayu was one of the 25 who did that terrible act in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So the Gemara is assuming that we now locked ourselves in with Shmuel giving the negative read of Paltayu. The Gemara says, now, lo olam em lecha, Shmuel amar letova, u'shmuel letamei. So the Gemara says, nah, no. And we could go with Shmuel going with the more positive view of Paltayu. Now, according to the positive view, I don't get it. Who was sent to Meishan? The slaves of the Jewish people. What did Shmuel say? The Jews living in Meishan are Jews. How is that compatible? The Gemara explains. So the Gemara says, "Da'amar Amafkir Avdo Yasal Lecheres Ve'enot Sarket Shechor Shenemar Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef Eved Ish Velo Eved Isha Ela Eved Sheish Lo Rishus LaRabba Olav Kari Eved Eved Shein LaRabba Rishus Olav Ein Kari Eved." So what we learn back in Gittin is that according to Shmuel, so once you're Mafkir, you're Eved, he's free, fully emancipated. You don't need to write a Get Shechor. So in other words, here's how we're going to weave everything together. According to Shmuel, Paltayu was a good guy. And when the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar said to his father-in-law, give me captives, give me slaves. So Nebuchadnezzar thought, you know what, I'm going to send the Jews. Paltayu went to Nebuchadnezzar and says, don't do that. Don't send the Jews. Send the slaves, send our slaves, but don't send the Jews. Once the slaves were sent, so now this is Shmuel's read. So what did they do? Before the Jews sent their slaves away to Meishan, they said, you know what, Hefker, we no longer own them. And according to Shmuel, once you're Mafkir, that now equals full emancipation. Full emancipation means what? You're a Jew. Period. So now, which Jews are occupying Meishan? Jews. Granted that once upon a time they were Avadim, but they were freed by their owner. Freedom now equals them now becoming full-fledged Gerim, full-fledged Jews. And so therefore, everything's compatible. So Shmuel could be reading the positive view of Paltayu, not necessarily the negative view.
Their conversion is just by them that they're emancipated?
Perfect.
But no mikvah required, nothing.
Presumably they would have to go to the mikvah, but the point of the matter is that according to Shmuel, you don't have to write a Get Shechor. If you had to write a Get Shechor, so just because you were a mafkir, them is insufficient. Shmuel, however, is of the position that Hefkerus is in of itself is sufficient. Okay.
Didn't we learn something about an Eved going into a mikvah and declaring himself free?
Right, but that's only if the owner
allows
him to do so. Correct, yeah. Correct. In other words, correct. Okay, yeah, you remember those Gemaras. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Right. Okay. Fine. good place to pause. Okay. Very well. Over the course of today's daf, we are Kedushin Ein Beis. So what do? We went really into the weeds. We went into the geography of the Jewish people. We did the Tigris and the Euphrates, upstream, downstream of both rivers. We basically did the perimeter of which areas of Bavel are of Yichus. Within Bavel, so what is the apex of Yichus? That's Pumpadisa. Pampadisa is really number one in terms of Yichus. But really, it's Pampadisa and all the surrounding areas of Pampadisa. And even the communities that are between the Tigris and Euphrates also are going to be outstanding in terms of Yichus. A couple of towns that were really out of town, so we discussed them, we described them. And then a good part of today's daf, the death of Rebbe, and a number of pronouncements that he made over certain cities, over certain families. And finally, the last that we heard from Rebbe is the birth of Rav Ada Bar Ava, which is really the perpetuation, the continuation of the Jewish people. Really, the bris of Rav Ada Bar Ava, I'm going with Rashi's second interpretation, and also the birth of Rav Yehuda, right? Which really starts us off in the Tekufa of the Amoraim. And we were able to create a link today. Talk about a Mesora. We went today from Rabbi Akiva to Rebbe to Rav Yehuda to Rava to Rav Ashi. Oh, I did that good. I know I'm supposed to, meaning that's my job, but what's it called? That's the Mesora that we saw in the course of today's daf. And then finally, we finished up with Paltayu that's described by Yechezkel. Yechezkel is mourning and lamenting the death, and mourning it from a positive standpoint, from a negative standpoint. So that was also a good part of today's daf, Ayin Beis Amud Beis, where Rav Shmuel debated this very issue. Where does each stand on it? We don't know. But one said positive, one said negative. When we went over the positive, we went over the negative. Adkar.
I guess the people have been moved.